So that I will call the case. The third case, the third and final case on today's oral argument calendar is Consolidated Appeals number A19-1195 and number A20-947, in re the matter of Freeborn Wind Energy LLC's application for a large wind energy conversion system site permit. We have two different respondents on appeal who have filed two separate briefs. Our typical approach is to have the two respondents divide the 15 minutes of time. I'm wondering if there's been a previously arranged and agreed upon division of time.
Yes, Your Honor. We'll each be taking 7.5 minutes.
Okay. And may I just confirm with the marshal that you're able to set the clock at a half a minute?
Yes, I can.
Okay, very good. Very good. Okay, counsel for Relator, you may identify yourself and then begin. I think you're all aware that the appellant has 15 minutes for the principal arguments, and then has respondents will share 15 minutes. Relator will then have an opportunity for rebuttal in the amount of 5 minutes. Counsel for Relator, you may identify yourself and begin.
Thank you. My name is Carol Overland. I represent the Association of Freeborn County Landowners.
May I just say at the outset, Ms. Overland, your sound is a little bit faint, and maybe there's nothing you can do about it. I think it's workable, and I can turn up my volume. But if you readily know that you have a setting, feel free to do it. But I don't want to distract you. So it's also okay to go. It's also okay to go forward, but you may want to speak a little bit more loudly than usual, if so.
Okay, I'm trying. I have been.
I can hear you better now, perhaps because of my own volume, but I think it's okay. I just wanted to make sure at the outset that we weren't missing anything.
Okay, I'm turning mine way up from what I can tell, but.
Can everybody hear fine? Is there anybody who can't hear? I think it's okay. So maybe it was not necessary for me, but I just wanted to make sure.
Thank you. I think it's a problem on my end too. I'm having difficulties hearing myself. May I start over at 15?
Oh, of course. I'm sorry. There we go. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate that. May I please the court? My name is Carol Overland. I represent the Association of Freeborn County Landowners. And AFCL is asking this court to rescind the Public Utilities Commission May 10th, 2019 and March 31st, 2020 Freeborn Wind site permits to remand for a full environmental impact statement as appropriate for a large wind energy conversion system, and to remand to the Office of Administrative Hearings for a contested case to address NSP's new application for a permit amendment filed August 20th, 2019, and the many following compliance filings. AFCL.
Ms. Overland, can I jump in? I saw that too in terms of a remedy, and I thought I read in your brief that it was an alternative remedy, and maybe I heard you say it just a little bit differently here. Is there any legal basis upon which a reviewing court such as us could rescind the permit? Would we instead be limited only to remanding if further proceedings are required?
Okay, I'll correct that to remand, strictly remand to the case. Yeah, thank you.
Can I ask you, I'm gonna just follow up with another procedural question. Sorry to stick on procedure, but I believe it was the commission's brief, but maybe both briefs raised the issue of scope of the issues. You've identified five, and I will admit the procedure confuses me a bit. Now, maybe that doesn't take much, but I'm left with, at least at this stage, not doubting the incorrectness of that issue of that there may be a scope issue to a number of the issues that you've raised. I wonder if you could help clarify for me. I assume number one, you would agree that any issues that were not appealed either by a direct appeal of a previous order that's not on review or an issue raised in a reconsideration motion which was not appealed, or perhaps in this case the issue not addressed by the commission, is not subject to our review. And in this case, I understand of the three orders that we're referencing, the main one issuing the initial permit was not appealed, the 2018 Correct. Order. There was a motion for reconsideration, a first motion, which essentially the commission did not rule on, as I understand, but instead the order that's on appeal from 2019 May amended its order granting the permit. Then there's a second motion for reconsideration, which, as I understand, was appealed. Can you clarify for me, of the issues you've raised, number one, I assume only those issues that were denied in a motion, the second motion for reconsideration, would be ripe for our consideration. Any that were either ignored or not addressed in the first motion or the first order would not be ripe. I assume you agree with that, or if you don't, you can tell me, but can you clarify which bailiwick or which silo the five issues that you've raised fit within the scope of either the second motion for reconsideration or that second order, or the, of course, the final order being the amended order?
Well, there are three orders. The first order is not a subject for appeal here, that's clear. But on the May 10th order, the second order, which we did file for reconsideration on that, and the March 31st order of 2020, which we did file for reconsideration on that, the May 10th order took into account many points, which are in our brief on page 11, set out which of the issues, which of the topics they pulled out there. But it's important to keep in mind that this amendment is an umbrella over that original order. But we are not appealing that original order. We are appealing the May 10th, 2019 order, for which we did file a motion for reconsideration and raise these issues, and the March 31st, 2020 order. Those are the orders we are appealing. And those orders did address many factors, which are all listed on page 11 of the brief and in the commission's order, which is in our addendum.
Just to clarify then, your characterization as the amended order as being an umbrella, and I'm assuming we'll hear from counsel for respondent, may not agree with that characterization, but your position being that essentially opens all the issues because of the amended order, everything that, whether it was previously sought in a motion for reconsideration or not, would be properly before us?
No. I'm stating that the May 10th order lists those things. This is not going back to the other order. This is going to what they discussed in the May 10th, 2019 order, where they specifically discussed the project description, the wind turbine towers, post-construction noise monitoring. They specifically discussed the noise studies, complaint handling process, avian batten protection plan. It's all listed there in the commission's order. They addressed those things in that order. Those were also things that were in the original order back in December 19th order in 2018. But these are carried over and were addressed in that May 19th order.
So in summary, you believe all five issues that you've raised are properly within the scope of this court's review?
Absolutely, yes.
Thank you.
So, but you do agree that that unless there is a specific amendment that deals with your issues, then it's not properly before us. Is that correct? I mean, because I just want to make sure I understand your position here.
Well, there are two pieces.
You'll agree that if there's nothing about the May 10th order that's amended, that we cannot reconsider those issues you've listed on page 11 of your brief, right?
Well, to an extent, there are two aspects to the commission's order. There is the commission's order, and then there is the commission's permit. So, in the commission's order, they do address these things. And so these things are fair game. And then there are separately different things that were amended in the permit, but there is an order amending, and that is what we are appealing.
Is it a fair statement though, unless the amendment of the later orders specifically raise these issues, we cannot deal with it?
Unless the amendment to the order. Well, see, and this is where it's a problem between order and permit, because the order, you're saying, using the words order, and the order is different than the permit. And the order orders an amendment to the permit. So there's a distinction there, and these things are addressed in the order very clearly, and many of them are transferred over into amending the permit. But it's our position that, being that this is within the order, that that is subject to review.
All right. Well, then I'm hearing you say, and I just want to make sure I understand that, that if there's any amendment of the permit, that necessarily raises everything. Is that your argument?
No, it's not that broad. No, not raises everything, but raises the things that were in the May 10th order and the March 31st, 2020 order. And then a subset of that order is changes to the permit.
Okay.
So it's not as broad going back to the December 18th or 19th, 2018 order. It is not going back there. It's staying with the May 10th order and the permit changes, and the March 31st order and the permit changes.
Okay. Ms. Overland, perhaps I'll ratchet it down just a little bit to a specific. For instance, in issue three, sure, you believe the commission erred in not convening a separate or subsequent contested hearing. And I'm assuming that relates as to the amended order, the final order of amendment. Within that, I think you argue that, that, for instance, the commission should have considered evidence, again, as it relates to the sound basis, I think at 0.5 versus 0.0 example. Wouldn't that be an example, at least, of an issue that clearly has been resolved, is not before our court, and would not have been, and the commission has the discretion whether to reopen on that, because that was part of the original contested hearing, of which there was evidence, and that order, like we've been talking, isn't on appeal. We'd have no basis there. We'd have no basis, therefore, to override the commission's decision that we've heard this already. It's not material. Therefore, we're not going to convene a contested hearing.
Well, it is material, and we have not heard it already. The contested case was back in 2018, and the evidence before it at that time was all regarding 0.0 ground factor. There is nothing in that record to reflect that addresses a 0.5 ground factor. And that, so that's, it is a material issue that should go for a contested case. Use of a 0.5 ground factor is not appropriate for an elevated source. Information regarding that has been put in the record. Notably, parts of a transcript from Wisconsin where Freeborn's own expert, Hankard, testified that yes, 0.5 is for most sources because it's a ground source to a ground receptor. But he testified that, well, that's not appropriate for an elevated source. The commission has this information. This is a material issue because it changes the probability of noise problems. And noise problems is something that the commission is aware of. This was not addressed in the contested case. And so many things that have been put into the record, including a amendment application as of August 20th, new information that is not in the record. The commission adopted the ALJ's recommendations to a certain extent, but changed many things. And part of that was that they adopted was to, if the commission was not going to deny the permit, that they could offer in the alternative an opportunity for the applicants to demonstrate compliance. That's not been done yet. That is yet to be done. And that's absolutely a need for a contested case. There are issues here that have not been addressed. There's all this new information that was not part of the contested case. Things have changed significantly with this amendment application, and we need to look into this.
Well, what about the argument of the respondents that the study that was looked at was the 0.0 factor ground factor, which actually is, you know, makes, you know, because of it's usually pavement, and that makes the turbines even noisier. So that if you do a 0.5, that it's actually, you know, that there would be less problems with the noise under those circumstances. So how does this help your argument
No, it doesn't help at all. The 0.5 means that there are things in the way between the source and the receptor. But this is a wind turbine, which is up in the air. And so it is inappropriate to use it. A wind turbine is up in the air with a direct hit to the receptor. There's nothing in the way. The noise is going straight down. And that's why a 0.0 ground factor is appropriate for a wind turbine for an elevated source. And a 0.5 is not, which Freeborn's expert testified to in the Bentry project, and that transcript was included to the commission to make sure that they understood this material issue of fact. Also, I need to raise very clearly that the respondents are dependent on an argument that the LWICs are reviewed through a MEPA compliant process. And that is not true. Alternate review is specified under 216E.04 subdivision 2 applicable projects. Wind is not listed. And the Minnesota statute 216F02 states that 216E4 is not part of the Power Plant Siting Act that applies to wind. And so that is a statement that they're misrepresenting what the law is there. Also, they are stating that Rule 7854.0500 subpart 7 exempts wind from environmental review. But that is just a statement from the SONAR. There is no court ruling about that. There is the rule is governing application content, not environmental review, and it is not alternative review. Application content is not environmental review. It does not comply with the legislative mandate of 216F.05, which was a directive to develop criteria to designate sites. And it had to include impact of LWICs on humans and the environment and requirements for environmental review of LWICs.
Ms. Overland, can I interrupt you just a moment? I wanted to ask you about the first issue in which you raise the error in not granting or requiring an EIW or an alternative environmental. I'm wondering again the basis upon which we could determine that's an error if the rule itself allows for such analysis to be in the application, and it's undisputed that that information may not be in agreement, but that information in fact was included in the application. And I believe the commission ruled twice that they was sufficient after the first order, but also in the amended order. On what basis would we have, notwithstanding your difference with the rule, or you might disagreement with the rule, to find that that was an error and to remand to require it?
That's basically fairly simple. Look at whether there is support for that. Just because they say it's so does not mean that it's so.
That's my question. Our standard of review for the commission, we would give deference. So I assume anytime if we were reviewing a district court, for instance, decision and give that sort of deference, we wouldn't, even if we disagreed, there'd be no legal basis for us to so order. How am I incorrect in that summary?
Well, the Public Utilities Commission has no experience in environmental review of wind projects. So there's no basis for deference. It is that has not been done with a wind project ever. There is no experience there. And there is, there's demonstrated material, environmental, substantive environmental impacts. That is demonstrated. And yet the commission continues to permit projects without taking this into account. And so if you look at, just a second. You know, if you look at where's the criteria? Where does it comply with 216F.05? Where is the criteria for citing these projects? There is none. There is none. And so there's no basis for saying that it doesn't require environmental review. Under MEPA, MEPA does require environmental review for projects that have an impact. And this is not alternative environmental review process. The commission is flat wrong with that statement, because 216E04 shows projects that are to which review is applicable, and it is not listed there. And so they are acting contrary to what the law is, contrary to the Power Plant Setting Act. And that would be your basis for saying this does need environmental review. This is not compliant with the statute.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Overland. You will have an opportunity for rebuttal. Counsel for the first respondent to present oral argument, you please identify yourself, state your the party, the client you represent, and then you may begin.
Thank you, Your Honor. My name is Susan Gretz. I'm an Assistant Attorney General for the State of Minnesota, and I'm here on behalf of the Minnesota Public Utilities Commission. Relator would have the court believe that this case is about Commission's widespread systemic failure to properly site wind farms in Minnesota and to fail to do any environmental review. But in fact, the case is about three very discrete decisions of the Commission, two relatively minor site permit amendments, and the decision not to order additional environmental review on top of the review that was done under Minnesota rules that was compliant and authorized under the Minnesota Environmental Policy Act. What is not at issue in this case is the original site permit, including the ground factor to apply in noise modeling and any broad systemic failures. I'm going to address three things.
Ms. Gretz, before you do that, I'm sorry, would you be able to help clarify for me, if it's possible, the procedure? And the reason I ask is that you have 30 days, the relator would have 30 days from an original order, or if there's a motion for reconsideration, which was done here from that first order, and yet the commission doesn't rule on it, it seems like almost a gotcha, because if the commission doesn't rule on it and you're past the 30 days, and I assume there's a preference to a motion for reconsider, given the deference to the commission to relook at issues before our court would look at it. Do you understand my question? It strikes me as a difficult ability for a relator under any scenario to comply with.
Yes, Your Honor. And it's not difficult. It's just that it's a two-step process to appeal any order from the commission. Under the commission statute 216B.27, for the first the first step in the process is to file a petition for reconsideration. And in fact, this court lacks jurisdiction to consider any appeal from a commission decision unless it has been preceded by a petition for reconsideration. So the commission makes an order. There's a petition for reconsideration within 20 days of that commission decision. And then once the commission has ruled on the petition for reconsideration, then it's only secured appeal to this court within a 30-day petition for writ of certiorari. And that is how the appeal process works. So there is no gotcha or no problem that applies. And in this case, the only two orders that were properly appealed that followed that process was the May 10th, 2019 order and the March 31st, 2020 order. So an order of the commission is final where there's no timely appeal taken from a decision on a petition for reconsideration. And that is what happened here when the relator did not appeal the denial of reconsideration of the first order. And I hope to clear this up.
Do you disagree then with Ms. Overland? Her summary is that all of the issues are properly before this court because of the appeal of the second order, the second denial of reconsideration, and then and of course a third order.
Yes, Your Honor, what's before the court are only the issues with related to the amendments. Now, this in my argument today, I'll adopt the terminology to refer to that original site permit as the first order, the May 10th, 2019 order as the second order, and the March 31st order as the March 31st, 2020 order as the third order. So the second order included both the denial of the petition for reconsideration of the first order. And it's very clear when you read the second order, the commission goes through and says, is addressing AFC, or the relator's petition for reconsideration, and noting that the requirement, there's no new information, no reason to revisit the issue. And the commission is addressing in that respect each of the arguments that were later raised on the petition for reconsideration. In addition to that, in that second order was a very few minor amendments to the permit, one of which included the alignment of sections 6 and 7 of the permit regarding noise modeling. Now, that did not include ground factor. It simply included clarifying which of those two provisions was going to take precedence. They both dealt with pre-construction modeling, but again, did not include ground factor. So properly before the court are just three decisions. That first, that alignment of section 6 and 7 to avoid any potential confusion about how noise was going to be modeled before construction and monitored after construction. Second, the subsequent amendment reflecting new turbine models and project layout. And third, the denial of additional environmental review. The allegations of error can be considered only as they might relate to these three commission decisions as properly before the court.
Can I stop you? Because I know that the relator referred to page 11 of the brief, and there's certainly more than what you just enumerated there. Because the position is that all of these were amendments, and therefore that opens it up.
Right. The items that were listed there are very minor, basically typographical or adjustments made to numbering of paragraphs. None of these were substantive. The only matter that was even arguably related to any issues with respect to noise is this alignment of sections 6 and 7 of the permit.
And that would be section 7.4?
Correct.
All right. So that you agree is available to
is
our...
properly within the scope of, okay. of the appeal. But again, this idea that there's somehow an umbrella over the original order that can now be included is really leads to an absurd result. The commission has to address the petition for reconsideration and explain why it is dismissing it and how it is addressing that. Now, if that suddenly became subject to a new petition for reconsideration, we would be in a vicious cycle and we would never get any finality with respect to commission orders. And under Minnesota Rule 7829, 3000, subpart 7, there can be no second petition for reconsideration on the same grounds. And that is exactly what Relator is asserting here, is that there's an opportunity to revisit every time the commission is determining how to rule on the petition for reconsideration. So,
All right. So anything else that's mentioned on page 11 is not before us, not appropriately before us. Is that your claim?
I just want to get to page 11 here quickly. Yes, nothing else. And that includes the environmental review, the claimed lack of wind sighting criteria, permit conditions regarding shadow flicker, all of those items were decided in the original site permit and are not before the court at this time.
What about the new turbines? You had three things that you thought that were appropriately before us. New turbines.
Right. The second amendment to the permit, which was resulted in the third order at issue here, provided robust environmental analysis and review conducted by the Department of Commerce Energy Environmental Review and Analysis Unit of what effect those turbines might have on the environment. And they found that were not going to have any significant impact in any greater amount over the original site permit. And both as a matter of fact and as a matter of law, the commission determined then that there was no basis for any additional environmental review associated with the changes in the site layout and turbines that occurred in that order. To summarize, each of these commission orders is supported by substantial evidence, thorough and legally compliant environmental review, and the process was infused with public participation. So we ask the court to affirm the two orders of the commission. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Gratz. It appears there are no further questions for you. Counsel for the other respondent may begin. Please identify yourself and your clients, and then you may begin.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court. My name is Christy Brisbin, and I'm appearing on behalf of Northern States Power Company as owner of the Freeborn Wind Project. Throughout my remarks, I will use the same definitions that counsel for commission did in terms of the first, second, and third orders. Review of this matter really requires clearing through the clutter raised by relator and focusing just on the narrow issues that are properly before the court. And that, again, is just two straightforward agency decisions. The first, correcting drafting issues in the prior order, and the second, making three small changes to the site permit to reflect the change in the turbine models and modest shift in turbine location. That's it. The commission has discussed that it engaged in the required environmental review under MEPA and that it completed all the required process, including having very robust public participation. Accordingly, I plan to focus my remarks first on the standard of review. Second, the legal authority and the substantial evidence supporting the second and third orders. And third, the deference owed to the commission's decision in denying the contested case hearing. On the standard of review, these are not legal issues as argued by relator, but rather a straightforward application of the rules to the facts in these cases. Under Cable Communications Board v. Norwest, Minnesota courts have long held that deference is owed to the agency decisions. In particular, as in here, where the commission considered relator's arguments and articulated reasons for rejecting them. And a presumption of correctness attaches when application of the regulation is primarily factual and necessarily requires the application of the agency's technical knowledge and expertise in applying to these facts. So on the substantive issues here, the appeal boils down to the commission's determination that there was good cause to amend the site permit, both to correct the drafting issues and then in reflection on the amendment application. The commission is the preemptive state siting authority for large energy facilities, and they've been siting wind farms according to the existing rules for the last two decades. Accordingly, their decisions on these matters are owed deference. Turning next to the second order, the one issued in May of 2019.
Can I interrupt you just a moment, Ms. Brisbin, please? In terms of, and you're limiting from your client's perspective of the issues that are properly before us, one of the issues I asked Ms. Overland about is the sound measurement used by the commission, and her position is that that's not been, that was not part of earlier contested hearing. How do you respond to that? Or I assume you disagree with that, but can you summarize
Your Honor,
why?
Yeah, we disagree. In the first order in December of 2018, the commission thoroughly went through the evidence from experts, including the expert provided by Freeborn Wind, who's an ecosystem, who talked about ground factor in the modeling. All of those issues related to how the sound modeling was going to be conducted were decided finally in that December 2018 order. That order was not properly appealed, and therefore all of those decisions are not before this body. The only issue related to noise was, again, the clarification, removing that duplicative language that was potentially confusing in the first order and making that clarification. That's the only portion that's before this court. And again, the commission has the inherent authority and the ability under 216B25 to amend its prior orders, particularly where it has identified a correction. I think if you look in the matter of the authority to provide alternative operator services in Minnesota, they've stated, right, this court stated that there's no good reason why upon discovering an error that the commission shouldn't, after due and prompt notice, correct that error. That's exactly what they did. They identified an issue that needed clarification. They took another round of public comment and then heard oral argument twice and then corrected the issue. And so here, again, those were not substantive changes. That was a correction. So despite all of the noise about noise, those issues are not properly before the court. If I turn next to the third order, the amendment order issued in March of 2020, relator has argued that the commission failed to take a hard look at the amendment request, but if you look at the facts in this case, the opposite is true. Minnesota Rule 7854, 1300, again, requires the commission to make a good cause finding. Here, Northern States Power requested an amendment with three very small changes to reflect the change in turbine technology and some modest shifts in turbine location. And yet they included updates to all of the application material, including all of the environmental review materials. And you have the Department of Commerce Environmental Review Unit independently assessing that information and concluding that the impacts of the amendment were comparable or less than the impacts associated with the original application. We have another round of public comments, including comments from Relator that the commission identified and considered. And then they met in December, heard oral argument, and then granted the site permit amendment. Now, the commission's order here reflects their careful consideration of the information in the record, including the environmental impacts. And accordingly, the third order is supported by substantial evidence and should be affirmed. Relator has also argued that it was a legal error to deny the contested case hearing related to that amendment request. But Relators failed to meet the burden under 7854-0900 to establish that there are contested issues of material fact that would aid in the commission's decision. Relator presented no new facts, identified no experts, and instead sought to relitigate the issues that were decided finally in the first order, again, which had in itself been supported by a full contested case hearing in which the relator was a party. And relator admits in their brief that this issue, that those issues were raised and strenuously objected to as part of the first proceeding. So where the commission has determined that relator has not met its burden and a contested case would not aid its decision, there is no legal error.
Ms. Bresvin, would you agree that there is a process for a relator to question whether a rule that's followed on a given case is in compliance with statutory authority? And if that is true, and I'm thinking in her response to my question regarding denial of a separate environmental impact, is it possible for a relator to do so? And was that raised in this case at the original contested hearing?
The issue related to environmental review was raised as part of the initial proceeding and considered in the commission's December 2019 order. They, of course, separately acted on the additional request for an EAW that was submitted after their decision on the amendment request. But the process for challenging a rule is under Chapter 14, right? The rules for that govern large wind farms have been in place since 2011 without any further action from the legislature or otherwise to suggest that the commission was not complying with NEPA, right? They have an alternative form of review that's authorized by 116D. It's directed by 216F05, the statute that governs wind farms, and it's reflected both in their rule in 7854 and then confirmed in the EQB rules in 4410-4300. So it's clear that the legislature has intended it, the commission has followed it, and environmental review according to NEPA has been complete. With that, Your Honors, I would quite simply ask that you find that the commission's decisions were supported by substantial evidence, there was no legal error, and that you affirm the commission's decisions in all respects. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Bruceman. Counsel for Relator, you have an opportunity for rebuttal.
Unmute. There we go. Okay. Thank you. First, looking at the findings that were approved by the commission in the original order that were not changed, if the commission was going to address the not deny the permit and was going to take another look at it, the finding says that the plan should be made available for public and agency comment and a hearing held with a summary report. That has not happened. There was no demonstration of compliance with the noise statutes, the noise standards before the issuance of Order 2. And there has been none prior to the issuance of Order 3. And in Order 3 is when everything changed. The noise modeling for was a part of Order 3 was not even submitted before Order 2 was issued. And it came on August 30th, 2019, and then was approved as of the March 31st order. There's been no contested case review of that. They've submitted in the application amendment application, they have submitted over 1,000 pages of documents. Things have significantly changed, and this has not been reviewed. We have not had the opportunity. How does a party, absent a contested case, get information into the record? We have filed comments. We have filed requests for contested case with affidavits, with attached exhibits. This is how you establish material issues of material fact, which is
what are you claiming the issues of material fact are relative to these amendments?
Well, it's the issues of material fact related to the new application. That is what we were bringing up, the issues of material fact over and over. We have so many contested case requests with that information in it. It is all in the record at, I'm trying to find it quickly. Okay, the applications for contested case, we filed information, you can find it at 017422 and 017727. Our letter of at 017395, repeated request for contested case and remand for hearing, 014219, 014295, 016589, 017348, voluminous request with evidence, affidavits, evidence attached. We've done our best. How do we get to a contested case? How do we get evidence in the record, but for a contested case? And what's the point of being a party if we can't get at a contested case to be able to put evidence into the record? There's been no demonstration. And this is under the findings of fact 244. There should be it should be made public for agency comment and a hearing held with a summary report. That didn't happen. It's never happened. And that's all we're asking for. We want to get to a hearing where we can review this information. That's never happened. And it's also the issues that we raised, and we referred to that a couple times here about point on page 11, that came directly from the order number two. And it's that the company also proposed a variety of changes to the permit summarized below. This is on page 3 of that order number 2. Boom, 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 boom. These issues. That was their request for an amendment. This isn't things that we're just making up and pulling out of the earlier order. These are requests that they made. And then we look at the August 8th, 2020 filings that were so extensive. I mean, the August 8th, 2019 filings were so extensive, and this has not been reviewed publicly. We've had no opportunity to introduce evidence regarding these filings. And that's what we need in this case. That's what we are asking this court for, is the opportunity to enter that evidence, to have it reviewed publicly, rather than in a post-permit private hearing, a private discussion that we're excluded from. What's the point of being a party? So we ask for a contested case. We are asking for environmental review that is consistent with MEPA, saying that it is consistent, that rule application content is consistent. There's no case law supporting that. There's no support for that at all. And we ask that this court recognize that. And we have applied, we have submitted rulemaking petitions. This has been a problem for years. One of the rejections for noise modeling for wind is in the record here. It was, the MPCA's Commissioner Stein rejected that September 12, 2016. And that letter is in the record, 017727. We are recognizing that there are problems with the rules. We've petitioned for rulemaking, but this is what we have. And the rules that are there, application content is not environmental review. Do you have any other questions?
It appears not. Thank you, Ms. Overland. The case is submitted. The Court will issue its written opinion within 90 days. Thank you very much to all counsel for your arguments, both in writing and orally. That concludes the final case set for oral argument today. So the court is now adjourned.